Here this morning, he told me after worship, so Dad. I was going to let you do it now. Swear.
Do it now?
Yeah, do it now.
This is what started this. Just thinking, you know, this is the beginning of a new year.
Amen.
And, you know, they got, and I would name names, but I'd probably miss somebody, and I don't want to offend anybody. But, you know, the leadership of this church, I think we should bless them and pray for them.
Amen.
And that hit me pretty hard this morning.
Amen.
Another thing I want to share, I don't know, like I said, my main objective here is let's bless this group, bless this church, the offerings, and it's going to be a great year.
Amen, Dad.
And then another thing, this is kind of, I attended a memorial service of a cousin that lived the life that, kind of like the Apostle Paul.
Mm-hmm.
She fought the good fight. And it was about giving and caring and how she was, and a great faith woman. And, you know, and I thought about my life, and I was telling Mark, and it's somewhat funny, but it's the truth. My life's been like the Indianapolis 500. There's a lots of left turns in it. And every time I get on that straightaway, I could give her thunder.
Mm-hmm.
But a left turn. Well, you know what? This year, I'm not doing that left turn.
Amen.
You know, and it's been a great teaching around here. And it's really freed me up from this Bible belt, and I'm not throwing rocks at this stuff. But another thing, you know, God loves us.
That's right.
And this morning in my time with him, I said, well, God, I will see you. He said, when you go to church, you see me. See it, Kenny. See my wife there. Tommy and Marilyn. You know, each one of us has got God in us.
That's good.
That's the Spirit of God. So that,
yeah.
You know, God's all of us.
Yeah.
And so I thought, wow, that's pretty awesome. So how can we be mean to one another because it's God there? You know what
yeah.
I mean? And so anyway, just join with me in a little bit of prayer here.
Amen.
And Father God, I just bless, you know, we come here as a corporate church here, Father God, and it says, you know, more than one gather, thy will shall be done. And Father God, we know that you're a father of blessing. All we got to do is ask for it. And Father God, I ask that you bless these individuals of this church. You bless them in their health, in their relationships, in their finances, Father God, and this church shall explore, you know, and explode. Not only explore, but explode.
Yes.
And Father God, I thank you for this, that we're what we're going to receive this year. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dad. Give Dad a big hand clap. That is confirmation. I had no idea what he was going to share, you know, and Dad don't do that very often, but when he came up to me and said, I feel like I have something I need to share this morning, and that goes right along with my message this morning, what he just shared, and because there's going to be a little bit of vision come forth in this message of what I believe that God is speaking to us as a church. We've been here for 18 years, guys, since 2000, and it's kind of been like Harvest Fellowship Church 1.0 in the first 18 years. And as I had got this time to get away, and I want to appreciate the leadership of our church, that for the last 2 weeks I've been in Arizona soaking up the sunshine and enjoying the nice temperatures out there, visiting our daughter and son in love, and had some good time with the Lord too while we were out there. But I appreciate the leadership of this church keeping it going here the last couple of weeks, and give them a big hand clap this morning, Dusty and Mark and just everybody that helped. I heard great things. And last Sunday, if you haven't seen the message by Pastor Robert Morris called The Lack of Understanding, I encourage you to go online and watch that at gatewaypeople.com. I heard nothing but good reports from that message. It was a video Sunday that we did last Sunday. But while I could go on and on and on about what happened in Arizona and things that God spoke to us, and I felt like there was two things the Lord showed me. First of all, was that our worship as a church was going to go to a new level. And I felt it today, this very first Sunday. So give Mark and Jen and everybody a big hand clap. Worship in this house is going to go to a new level, because when we go and worship, praise and worship is spiritual warfare. And it drives back the darkness and brings forth the light in this area. And guys, God has called us to this region of Western Oklahoma, not just Leedy. Leedy's a part of it. Leedy's where we're planted at, out here on the south edge of Leedy. But Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle is this region that God has us in. But I want you to, I could go on and on and on. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and Daniel chapter 10. And if you have, you can have that bulletin insert is the outline for today to fill in the blanks. turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and Daniel chapter 10. And over the past 2 weeks, I want to challenge you with something today. And I pray that you leave here challenged, convicted, not condemned. I loved what Dad said when he said that he is learning that God is not in the condemnation business. God is not in the shame business. That's the enemy. And that's how the enemy has perverted the word of God over people, and especially in the Bible Belt, that we live in bondage because we're living under condemnation and shame. And my dad is getting free of that. I'm getting free of that. And I pray to God that everybody in this church is getting free of that, because God wants us walking in freedom. But one of the things that God showed me over these last couple of weeks is he said, Mark, I know that you pray and you talk to me, but I want to even take your prayer life to another level this year. And so this teaching today is going to be a teaching on prayer. And out of all the things, when you stop and think about this, and this is, you might want to write this scripture down. It's not on your notes, but it's Luke 11, verse 1. It was the Harvest Time Club picture or scripture that got sent out this morning. And you can look there on your inside flap of your bulletin how to be a part of that, of the Harvest Time Club, where you'll get a scripture every morning at 7 a.m. But whenever I was studying about prayer, of all the disciples saw Jesus heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. I mean, they saw so much stuff. And even the book of John, at the end of the book of John, the Gospel of John, it says that the books could not even contain all the things that the disciples saw that Jesus did when he was here for those 3.5 years. But the one thing that the disciples asked Jesus that they saw in his life, in his private life, was this. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. We want to pray like you. We see your prayer life. We see this flow, what I call the rhythm of grace. We saw this. We see this where you're with people and you minister to people and you speak and you preach and you teach to thousands. But then you also have this flow where you get away from people for a time and spend time with your Father. And we just see this rhythm of grace going on. We want you to teach us how to pray. So is everybody ready to learn how to pray today? Is everybody ready to learn how to pray in the Spirit today? Okay, we're going to learn how to pray in the Spirit today. And this is Ephesians 6, verses 18 through 20 is our main scripture that we're going to look at today. And this is the Apostle Paul. I'm actually ending the Armor of God series on this Sunday with prayer. And then we're going to start a new series next Sunday about the year of the open door. But and God arranged all this because to end this series on the first Sunday of the year, and this is what I want you guys, I'm challenging today to that your prayer life is going to improve after today, after hearing this message. I believe that with all of my heart. Ephesians 6, verses 18 through 20, the Apostle Paul says in the last part of that teaching on the armor of God, he says, and pray in the Spirit. Everybody say, pray in the Spirit. On all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And I want to show you something. And we've been going through, if you haven't been here, we've been going through a teaching on the armor of God out of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, or actually 10 through 20. And Paul writes more about prayer than about any other piece of the armor. That's what makes all the armor work. You can have all the armor on, and if you don't have a prayer life, it's not going to work for very long. You've got to have that prayer is the energy and the atmosphere that's around you. It's like your force shield. That's what I'd like to describe it as. But prayer is the seventh piece of the armor, and what Paul is encouraging us to do is we must live in prayer. So is everybody ready for my challenge to you for 2018? Amen. It's this right here. Pray every day. Amen. I encourage you to pray every day. Some form of prayer, and I'm gonna show you how we can pray every day. That's my challenge for 2018 and my challenge to you beyond today. I love what Edward Payson said. He was a minister, and he said, prayer is the first thing, the second thing, the third thing. Pray, pray, pray. And that is so true. And as I was thinking about this, I was like, but, you know, as I was studying this message out, I do pray, but I was convicted of my prayerlessness as well, that I need to take my and there's no condemnation or no shame here, but I just want us to be challenged to improve our prayer life. How many of you want to improve your prayer life? Amen. Guys, I'm telling you, and as Dad prayed this morning before we started over this whole deal, that's what God was showing me. As we pray, great things are going to happen this year, the year of the open door. But we got to pray first. And I have studied great moves of God, guys. You know, all the revivals of years past, the great movements, the great awakenings, and every one of them was preceded by great prayer. And then they were sustained by prayer. And the moment that God's people began to wane in prayer, not pray, that's when the revival stopped. So we need to pray. But there's something there that I said, you know, in Ephesians 6, where the Apostle Paul said, pray in the Spirit. And I want to say this, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Look at somebody and say, I'm a Christian. All right. I don't like labels, guys. I hate labels. And it just drives me. If you want to know my pet peeve as a pastor is when somebody tries to label me. I'm a Christian. Some people have tried to label me as a Pentecostal. I believe in Pentecost, but I'm not a Pentecostal. I'm a Christian. Some people have tried to say that I was a Southern Baptist. And I'm like, no, I'm a Northern Baptist. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. And you know, we have all these labels. And I have a friend of mine who comes here and ministers, Amy Downey. I love Amy. We graduated together. But it's so funny because she can't figure me out. And so she has called me a Bapticostal. She says, you're part Baptist and part Pentecostal. You're a Bapticostal. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm a Christian. The reason why I'm saying all that is because Paul was a Christian. The early church were just Christians. They didn't have all these, you know, and last week we heard Pastor Robert talked about a lack of understanding about racism, and that's a hot topic right now. But here's another topic I want to tell you. The most segregated thing on the planet is on Sunday morning, and it's the body of Christ. Because they worship their labels. No, we're supposed to worship Jesus. Worship God, not worship our labels, who we are. And so when I say pray in the Spirit, immediately, you know, Pentecostals will go, yay, we're going to learn about speaking in tongues. That's a part of it, okay? It is scriptural. It's in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14. It's all there about that. I believe in that. I do that. I don't do it up here in front of you because it's not going to teach you one thing. That's me personally, between me and God and my personal prayer life. That's what that is. But prayer in the Spirit, this is what prayer in the Spirit is. Prayer in the Spirit, according to what the Apostle Paul was teaching, and we're going to go through what he was teaching there, it is according to God's word and according to his promptings. I'm going to say that again. Prayer in the Spirit is according to God's word and according to his promptings. So is everybody ready to learn how to pray in the Spirit? All right, so here we go. Number one, how to pray in the Spirit. Number one, here's your first blank to fill in. Prayer in the Spirit, what the Apostle Paul was teaching us, is constant. Everybody say constant. And this is Ephesians 6:18, where it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. That means constantly, continually pray. A couple more scriptures I want to show you. And all these scriptures are there in your outline that you can go home and look up later. Acts 1:14 says, they all joined together constantly in prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And that was in the upper room, the 120. But it says they joined together constantly in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray continually. Another translation says, pray without ceasing. And so 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we hear that and people say, well, how can I pray without ceasing? Do I just got to go to church and stay at the altar all day long and pray? No, you can pray in your pickup. You can pray in your car. You can pray before a meeting. You can pray anywhere, anytime, any time of the day. You can pray at school. You can pray. Nobody can take that privilege from you. You can pray. And when I looked this up, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 in the Greek, so you're going to learn a little Greek today. When I looked that up in the Greek about pray continually or pray without ceasing, it means the relation was, I thought this was funny, especially right now, a hacking cough or a repeated military assaults. You know, like a hacking cough, you don't cough all the time, but you cough pretty often, right? On a hacking cough. Somebody, I knew somebody would do that. Was that you, Grace? Yeah. It's a little wise one. She coughed over there. But that's a hacking cough or repeated military assaults. You know, as in a, you know, military, they would, you know, make an assault, and then they would go back and regroup, retreat and regroup, and then go back again. Everybody understand that? So that's prayer continually. That's not just sitting around praying all the time. It's praying often. And here's another thing. Prayer is, and I love what John MacArthur said. He said, prayer is not so much the articulation of words as the posture of the heart. And that's John MacArthur. And what I call this, and Dad alluded to this, and I'm glad I had you go first, because when you said that, when you were talking, Dad was talking about God consciousness. And we need to live that way. Like Dad said, when I saw Kenny, when I see Debbie this morning, when I see Tommy and Marilyn, I see God. That's living in God consciousness. So how could I get offended at them? So how could I, you know, come against them in any way? Because if we would all, can you imagine the world if we all lived like that? Because everybody in here, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have God in you. You were created in the image of God. And so we need to walk in that God consciousness. All right. So we need to pray constantly, and we're going to keep learning how to do this. Number two is we need to, prayer in the Spirit is varied. Everybody say varied. It says in Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Ephesians 6:18 is what the Apostle Paul said. But here's the deal. Most Christians use only one type of prayer, and that's requests or petitions for themselves. There's more kinds of prayer than that. Prayer is varied. I'm going to give you a couple examples from what happened with me over the last couple of weeks. One particular day, Tay and I and Jada, we went hiking, and we went to the Papago Mountains there in Arizona and went hiking there. And there was a point where we got up and we looked out over the valley of Phoenix and Scottsdale and Gilbert and everywhere, all these suburbs of the Phoenix. And it just stretches for miles. But we was up on this Papago Mountain, one of the mountains there. Their mountains are like rocks. They look like a big, gigantic rock. But we was looking over that, and I was just sitting there, and I was just in awe that a desert could look that pretty. You know, because we was looking over the desert and then go into the landscape of the city. And that was a form when I just, and I did, right there in that moment, I said, man, thank you, God, that I got to witness this. And that was a part of thanksgiving and worship is a type and form of prayer. Another one was we were on our way out there, and my dad called me, and I could tell Dad was wondering, well, Mark's not talking very much, and it's because I came up on an accident, and I had told Dad, I said, I got to go. And we had to take the median and get off the road and go on an access road. And we were like the third or fourth vehicle that came right upon an accident that had just happened. And Jade and I, we joined hands there in the vehicle, and we prayed over that accident. We prayed over the people. We saw the EMTs, and we prayed over them and the paramedics and everybody that was coming into that accident. And so that is a form of intercession. That's another type of prayer. Prayer is varied. Look at somebody and say it's varied. It depends on the situation, the circumstance, whatever you're going through. If you needed healing and you came to Pastor Mark and I laid hands on you and I blessed the food, that's not the prayer you want. Amen? You want me to pray a prayer of faith to heal the sick. There's a prayer of faith that the book of James talks about. So there's all kinds of prayer. Prayer is varied. And I want to show you this one here. The next scripture, Matthew 18, verses 19 through 20, it talks about, Dad did this corporately with us, corporate prayer, Matthew 18, verses 19 through 20, and this is Jesus talking. He said, again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. Two or three, that's all you got to have. Corporate prayer is powerful. That's a varied kind of, you can pray individually, you can pray corporately. And Dad prayed over, and we prayed with him, and it was a corporate prayer this morning. Here's another scripture, James 5:16. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And I'm going to tell you, as I was studying for this and I was thinking about the most powerful times I've had in prayer, was when I prayed with somebody that really knew me. First of all, my wife. You need to be praying with your spouse, by the way. If you're married, pray with your spouse, because that's corporate prayer right there, and there's nothing more powerful than that. The next thing is you need to have some people that really know you. You need to have a circle of influence that really know you. And this is what I like to call relational prayer. And this is what James is talking about there. They need to know your flaws. They need to know your ins, your outs, what you're going through and all that. All the junk. We all got it. We all have issues, right? We all got problems. Thank God we have a Savior. But you need to have some people around you that know you, that really know you. And just here last month, we had a prayer meeting here at the church just for the immediate leadership in our church, and I'll never forget that. We were all around a table back here at the back. We were talking about where we're, you know, just some church stuff. And then at the end, I said, we're going to pray for one another. But we went around and we read scripture and we talked about what was going on in each of our lives. And it was a very intimate setting. And then we prayed for one another. And when I left there, guys, I went into that meeting that night very burdened, and I could feel the burdens from them. I could go around the room here and tell you who was in that meeting and the things that they were going through in their families and what was going on. And they opened up and they shared their life with us. There was a very intimate relational time. We prayed for one another. God was there. And then I started hearing how God was answering prayers from that time that we had. And it was powerful. It was powerful. So I encourage you to get with somebody, your spouse, get with a friend, somebody. But if it's just you and Jesus, that's okay. That's a corporate prayer right there. You definitely want him involved in the prayer. Now, I can't talk about teaching or teach on teaching without showing what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. And this is where Jesus was teaching us how to pray. And this is Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. It says, this then is how you should pray. This is Jesus speaking. And this is not that we need to quote this verbatim, although there's people that do this before sporting events and all that, and that's great and that's fine. But basically, Jesus was giving us an outline on how to pray. And he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. What that does is calls us to praise and worship. You need to start off your prayer time with praising and worshiping the Lord, because the Bible says that God inhabits the praise and the worship of his people. That's how you start it off. And then he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That calls us to pray for outreach. That calls us to pray for the spreading of his word and his kingdom in the earth. And then verse 11, he says, give us today our daily bread. And this is finally when you start praying, calls us to pray for our personal needs and those of others. Notice where the needs are at. It's third on the list. It's not first. And then goes on in verse 12, it says, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Calls us to confess our sins and those of others. Means that you just, basically what this means, that we don't have to get, that's not saying get saved every time you go pray. That's because when I was studying this, I was like, God, Jesus, what are you trying to tell us in that prayer? Because we all interact with people during the day, and sometimes we get offended. Sometimes we get our feelings hurt or unforgiveness and things like that. And so we got to get that junk out, guys. And what God showed me was it's like the filter screen at home on your air conditioner or your heater. You need to change your filter out every so often because it gets dirty. In fact, you need to do it every 30 days. If you go over 90 days, some bad things are happening to your air conditioning, your system. So you need to, and this is something daily he's telling us to do, make sure your filter's clean. Look at somebody and say, make sure your filter's clean. And if you're married, you better do it every day. Amen. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Yeah. Got to keep that filter clean. Then verse 13, it says, and Jesus says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And that calls us to pray for spiritual protection from temptation and the devil. You know, you can be a good person and get sidetracked and be distracted by the enemy, by temptations or by the enemy himself. So that's a good model to show you how to pray. So prayer, the second that prayer is varied. But look at somebody say, prayer is varied. All right, here's number three. Prayer is watchful. And this is in Ephesians 6:18. It says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Look at somebody and say, be alert. The word here is prayer in the Spirit is watchful. And Nobody knows this better than the Apostle Peter, because in 1 Peter 5:8, he tells us, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking and looking for someone to devour." And this is, Peter is speaking in military terminology, saying, "Be alert and of sober mind." And the reason why Peter was able to say that in 1 Peter 5:8 was because in Matthew 26:41, Jesus was mainly speaking to Peter. He said, "Watch and pray so that you'll not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Who denied Jesus three times? Peter did, because the enemy came in and tempted him. And Jesus knew that. And here's the deal. When you're praying, it's like that military, you know, when they're guarding the fort and you have somebody, you know, watching the horizon, making sure the enemy's not coming. That's part of being watchful, is you're being on guard. You're being alert to that, because you do have an enemy out there. But on the other hand, it's also watching for God as well. Where's God moving at? Where's God? What's he doing in someone's life? And then you go there and be a blessing as well. Everybody got that? All right, everybody learning something today? All right, here's number four. Prayer in the Spirit is persevering. I cannot stress this enough. Don't give up. Don't give up, because we're in a battle. Prayer in the Spirit is persevering. It says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying." Pray every day. Spirit-led prayer is persevering. When you're praying in your flesh, it's pretty weak. You'll end up going to sleep. But when you're praying in the Spirit, you're going to persevere in it. Jesus said in Luke 11, verse 9, he said, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." Jesus said to persevere. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, knock. And the reason why, because I was sitting there going, "Okay, God, well, you're a God that hears prayer and you're a God that answers prayer. Why do we got to keep persevering in prayer?" Because we live in a fallen world, we have an enemy, and the number one thing he wants to do is to hinder your prayer life and hinder the answers to your prayer, so you'll give up and curse God. And so persevering prayer is needed because of the spiritual forces that we're fighting against. And I'm going to show this to you in Scripture. This is in Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. It says, "Do not be afraid, Daniel." This is the angel that appears to Daniel. Daniel has been praying for 21 days for something to happen, to get some understanding about something. And the angel finally comes through and shows up and says to him, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me for 21 days. Man, there was a spiritual battle going on in the heavenlies for 21 days. And then Michael, who's one of the archangels, so there's a hierarchy in angels, this is what it teaches us, one of the chief princes came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. So if you've got some things that are hindering in prayer, say, God, I'm telling my angel to get some more help. Tell him to go call on Michael and let's kick some butt. Let's get this thing answered." That's what I've been doing as well. All right, here's number five. Prayer in the Spirit is universal. Look at somebody, say, "It's universal." "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." Not just the people in your church, but every church, every denomination. And on the back of your bulletin, I put something in there for you to show you a little, and we're... And you can teach your children this as well. It's called the five fingers of prayer, the five-finger prayer. And this is when you fold your hands like this in prayer. There's a reason, there's a good teaching that goes with this. The five-finger prayer, and I'll let you look up the scriptures later. But your thumb is where you fold your hands. The thumb is nearest you. So begin by praying for those closest to you or your loved ones. The index finger is the pointer finger. So pray for those who teach, Bible teachers and preachers, and those who teach children. The next finger is the tallest, your middle finger. It reminds you to pray for those in authority over you, national and local leaders, and your employer, your boss at work. Also to pray for teachers and coaches. Then your fourth finger is usually the weakest. That's where you pray for those who are in trouble or who are suffering around the world. You can pray for the poor as well there. And then the last one is your little finger. It reminds you of your smallness in relation to God's greatness. And that's where you can ask him to supply your needs. That's just a neat little deal that you can teach your children and yourself. That's a good little rule to pray by right there. Guys, we have got to, like I said earlier, how the Lord was challenging me to take my prayer life to another level. And as I was studying this, and we're going to get to number six here in just a second, is there was a story that I read that really just shook me to my core. And it's a true story. There was a president of Taylor University in Indiana, so that's, you know, part of the Bible Belt. He was on a flight with a lady that he was sitting next to, a lady who was on an airplane flight, and he noticed that she was praying and fasting. She was denying the food from, you know, the airlines, but he could tell she was in deep thought and prayer sitting next to him. And he said, as I was sat there next to her, he said, I became very convicted. He's a Christian, and he said, I became very convicted of kind of the prayerlessness in my life. And he goes, and I was assuming, since we're in the Bible Belt, I'm assuming she's a Christian. So he asked her, you know, about her prayer life and all that, and thinking that she was a Christian. And she said, oh, no, sir, I'm not a Christian. I'm a Satanist. And she said, I'm praying for Christian leaders to fall into sin. She is actually, I'm joining with a lot of people, you know, in the Church of Satan, to pray for church leaders to fall into sin, to turn away from God and sound doctrine, and for others to follow them. And he said it shook him to his core. And so, guys, we need to step up our prayer lives. Amen. And I appreciate your prayers for me. Jade and I both do. And there is power in prayer. And there was another thing that she told this man. She goes, you Christians do not understand the power of prayer. Yeah. There's power in prayer. And usually the last thing that we do is pray. We do everything we can do, and then we say, oh, let's pray. No, we need prayer is the first thing, the second thing, and the third thing. Okay, here's the last. Pray, pray, pray. The last thing is number six. Prayer in the Spirit is gospel-centered and Bible-centered. And this is the last part of the scripture that the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 6, verses 19 through 20. He said, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And as I was studying this, and I could share more scriptures, but I'm just going to bring out two more. I noticed that Paul said this a lot. In fact, in Colossians 4, verses 3 through 4, he said, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Then another time in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1, as for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. And I was like, wow. Every one of us are sitting in here, number one, because of what Jesus did for all of us, but also because a man named Paul spread the gospel. And he did it fearlessly and boldly, and he was committed to it, and he went through a lot of stuff to do it. I mean, he spent a lot of time in prison as well. And I was just thinking about the Apostle Paul and all that he went through. And here we are complaining about water in Leedy. Thank God we have water. Amen? Amen? Prayed and the water's back on. Thank God for the people that got the water. I had to put that in this message today, because we complain about a lot of stuff. And I'm telling you, the Apostle Paul went through way more than that to get the word out. And I'm so thankful for that. But I was, as I said earlier, we're going into what I call Harvest Fellowship Church 2.0. And we're going into this new year. And I'm going to tell you what the vision is going to look like over the next year and the next several years here at Harvest Fellowship Church. And I had to go back, and I was looking over these past 2 weeks, I was looking back over the past and how God has brought us to this point. And there was something that happened in my past that I didn't understand at the moment, and now I do. And it's taken me, I think that was just back in 1997, 98, 97 is when it was. So I'm just now figuring it out. You know how God is, how, you know, something happened way in the past, and then comes forth here. And what it was Jade and I were attending a church, and we were living in Elk City, Oklahoma, but we were attending a church in Wheeler, Texas. We were driving almost an hour every Sunday to be a part of this church, and we did it for close to a year. And I really didn't know why. but I felt like God was saying, this is where you need to go. And it was during that time, now hindsight being 2020, when we was going to that church was a church, but it also had a radio station attached to it. And that's the anointing that I believe that God is placing upon our church to do as well. And the guy that started that church is actually the man who we have got the radio frequency from. His name's Ricky File, lives in Amarillo, Texas. And so we have, so these past several years, we've been in the process of getting all this put together. And in July of last year, of 2017, we got the radio frequency approved through the FCC. We got 501c3 status for it, for the call, even though it's not going to be, the radio station will be totally separate from our church, but it's going to be an outreach ministry of our church. And it'll be stationed in Elk City, Oklahoma. It's going to reach Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. Plus, this radio station is going to have a counseling center, a Christian counseling center attached to it as well. And I'm excited about it. It's where I believe God is taking our church to, because this is going to be our outreach ministry. Here's what I'll tell you. I've already had people approach me about giving to it, but here's what I want to tell you is your tithes, if you go to church here, your tithes come to your local storehouse. That's you're not able to tell your tithes where to go. Your tithes go to your church. Everybody understand that? You don't send it to a missionary. You don't send it to another TV minister or whatever. Your tithe goes to wherever you're fed the word of God at, your local church. Anything above that, you can tell where to go, which is your offerings. And so this is going to be an outreach ministry of our church to reach Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. I was sitting here talking to Cheryl this morning, asking about her husband Jeff, and Jeff's out in the oil field. Clark Calloway texted me last night, my brother-in-law, he's out in the oil field. They're going to have a way to hear the gospel. They're going to hear the word when they're out. And there's a lot of people in this area that work in the oil field and, you know, farming and ranching and different things like that. Well, it's going to be like a church on the airwaves, that we're planting a church on the airwaves to reach people. Guys, this is what prayer in the Spirit is, gospel-centered and Bible-centered. I want to reach more people for the glory of God. There's only so many people we can reach here at the church. That's okay. We've had people come here from all over, from different states, seeds being planted and everything. But now God's given us the ability to reach more people here in Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. And that's called Project E, because it's Project E is in Isaiah 54, which means that God is enlarging and expanding. And Dad said that in his prayer. He's expanding our territory where we're going to reach. I believe that some of these people that hear it, they'll come to church here. But it doesn't. I don't care where they go to church at. I'm just wanting to spread the gospel here in Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. And so be believing with us for that, praying about that. I can tell you right now that we need a lot of money to get started. It's not a cheap thing to buy radio equipment and all that. The frequency is going to cost $10,000, and the radio equipment's going to be anywhere from neighborhood of $75,000 to $90,000 to purchase the radio equipment that we need. So we're accepting offerings right now in Jesus' name, or if you know of anybody. So, but guys, I'm telling you, we're excited. It's going to happen. But that's Project E. And out of that, guys, I believe that we're going to be able to do things around here financially. I'll be honest with you, 2017 was a very lean year because of where our economy's at and all that. But I know that 2018, God's telling me the year of the open door, great things are going to start happening. I believe it's going to start happening in the oil field, farming and ranching, everything around here. God's going to begin to stir it up again. But I'm excited, but we're going to be able to do, you know, we have vision of putting a parking lot out here. We're wanting to add on to the church back here to build a fellowship hall and different things like that, so we have more room for ministry and all that. So I believe with all of my heart, guys, this is good ground to sow in. And so I just wanted to share that, a little bit of vision about where we're going in the next several years. And we're launching Harvest Fellowship Church 2.0 today. Amen. And I want everybody's prayers. with us on that and your giving as well. And this is my challenge to you as we close today, all right? My challenge to you is this. I want you to pray every day. Morning, evening, whenever you can, you pray. And you might say, well, what I pray about? You can pray about some of the things I told you about in our church, what's going on in our church. But pray, here's the simplest thing I ever had somebody tell me. Mark, just pray with whatever's on your heart, whatever you're going through, whatever your family's going through, whatever's on your heart. Pray that. Tell God about that. Get him involved in that. He wants to be involved in that. So pray every day. But here's the other thing. I can tell you that, and I know, because I know myself, is we walk out of here and like, yeah, I'm going to pray every day, and we may pray tomorrow, and we miss Tuesday. You know, I've done that too. And so what I want you to do is plan for it. Plan a time. Just like you'd plan a vacation or anything like that, plan for it. Plan a time. Plan a place. Plan a procedure. How you're going to do it, the five-finger prayer, the Matthew 6 prayer, however you're going to do it. Plan to see, and then also, you know, your Bible reading plan in there as well. But plan to see your prayer life improve this year. Amen? That's my challenge to you. Pray every day. All right, I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And Mark, I'm going to have you come and close. But I want to just make sure that everybody that's here today and those that are watching by Church's Aid and those that are listening by radio, I want to make sure that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior before you leave here today. And so I want to lead you in what I call the prayer of salvation. And the Bible says in Romans 10, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so that's all you have to do. So I want to lead you in this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me, and you rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen. If that's the first time you ever prayed that prayer, I want to welcome you to the family of God. Your next step is getting water baptized, and we can do that next Sunday. You can just get with me about that, and we can get that done. But I want to pray one more prayer, and I'm going to have Mark come up here. So this is my second closing, and I'm going to have Mark come up here and dismiss us. But I want to pray this prayer over us today, okay? So I want you to bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you for this word today to kick us off for 2018. God, this challenge for all of us to improve our prayer life, to pray every day. Lord, I pray that everyone here would plan for it, that they would plan a time, plan a place, plan a procedure the way that they're going to do it, and plan to see that their prayer life improve this year. And God, I thank you that when they come to this time at the beginning of next year, that they're going to see so many answers to their prayers. God, and we give you praise for that, Lord. We thank you for all that you're doing in our lives personally, God, in our families. Lord, we thank you for the direction and vision that you are giving to us as a church family, God, to reach Western Oklahoma and even the Texas Panhandle, God, with your gospel. And so, Lord, we thank you for it. And Lord, I pray that as we leave here today, that everybody here has learned today how to pray in the Spirit. So I pray that their prayer life is going to be constant. It's going to be varied. It's going to be watchful. It's going to be persevering. It's going to be universal. And God, and it's going to be gospel-centered and Bible-centered. And God, we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Mark's going to come and dismiss us.
Okay, let's give the Lord a hand clap. That's good. Amen. I just want to, but right before I close, just everybody had something speak to you right there. For me, it was, and I'm going to ask this question because it really reigned in my heart. How many people have had that place, and I've been there recently, when you really don't know what to pray? That's okay. God would say, that's because I need to take over in your life. Amen. That's what he's telling me today. Mark, quit trying to fix it on your own. God doesn't want us to quit trying to figure it out, but his plan's better than mine. And sometimes my ability to fix it needs to just surrender. Amen. Would you agree with that? And I sat there, and what God spoke to me personally, I'm just giving you a testimony, because you all heard something there about your prayer life. Amen. And it's about, for me, the best thing I can do is, you got it, God. And that's when I pray in the Spirit, because when I pray in the Spirit, I've quit trying. I've given up for myself. And I just pray in the Spirit and say, God, you got to do this now. I know I'm not just speaking to me, because I've been there. I need God to fix things in my life. And the only way I can do it is to get out of his way. Amen. And that's a powerful deal. That's such a good word, Pastor Mark. So thankful. I want to mention, too, before I close, about tithing, about what Pastor Mark went about giving. He would say, Mark, you don't have to do that. I'm going to do it anyway. When Carrie and I left here and we went to El Reno, we were tithing, and we had been blessed by our tithing. First of all, we started with nothing and began to tithe, and it was a big deal. When we were in El Reno, I called Pastor Mark on the phone, and I know we trust Pastor Mark, but I want to tell you the kind of ministry you're sowing into. I said, Pastor Mark, we tithing, we love our church, and we feel like even though we're going to a new church here in El Reno, and we've got a good ministry here, that we need to give our tithe to you at Leedy, Pastor Mark. And Pastor Mark was like, he was honest with me, and that's the kind of pastor that we have, that he said, Mark, you're supposed to give that tithe to your local church, not to your Leedy. That's where you're at, you know. And God really spoke to me, because I thought, Pastor Mark will follow the word, amen, because that's what the word of God would say, that you tithe your local ministry. And I just needed to share that, Pastor, because I know the heart of this ministry is invested in God's plan and not in Harvest Fellowship's plan. I know that sounds bad. This is Harvest Fellowship's church. That's the name of it, but this is the kingdom of God, amen? And it's a Christian-based church, and I'm very, very eager to say that and tell us all that, okay? So we're all going to pray more. I'm going to be quiet now, and we're going to dismiss. So pray with me. First of all, I'm going to read the blessing, the priestly blessing. We read this every week, but I believe we need to listen to it, and we need to feel like that we're blessed. Amen. We need to not feel like it. We need to know we are. It's not about our feelings, okay? It's in Numbers chapter 6, where the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Man, I'd live for that peace. Amen. I want the peace of God in my life. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you, Lord, and we thank you, God, for a great word. We thank you that we can approach you by the blood of your Son, God. We can come directly to your throne, and you will meet all of our needs. So, God, we surrender today to our prayer life to be more intimate with you. God, in Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And, Father, I know that we, all, especially me, that all of us need to seek your kingdom first, and then that's when you will be able to intervene and pull us through life in a way that is godly, in a way that you would want us to be, God. So we thank you for that today, God. Bless this year, 2018. Bless our pastors, as Ronnie spoke there, God. Bless our ministry. Bless the people that are committed in time, God, that we can stay focused in our prayer life. And God, we give you praise and glory for a great week as we continue to keep that attendance, as Pastor Mark spoke about, Lord. We want to be a part of your life every day and every waking moment as he preached today, God, and it came from your word. We give you praise and glory for a great week ahead in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. Give the Lord another hand clap. I love it. It's a great day. This current is trying to wreck me like castles of sand. Castles of sand, I feel like an enemy army. I'm about to get up in my zone. It's time to give a